for Manisa's prayer. We stand with her. We stand with this class, Father. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that Manisa has done this past week, trying to take flowers over there and cards and cooking a meal, and we contributed it from this class. But Lord, we know that this is an ongoing thing right now, and with both of them being in need, Lord, they need help. And thank God for their kids, Lord. But Lord, we're asking you, Father, to organize this and to help this family, Father, who've been so faithful for so long. Thank you, Father, for this class. Thank you for the love and the concern in this class. We ask you to anoint the lesson this morning. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to touch our hearts in a new and a special way, in areas that we're hurting in our own lives, in areas that we have to overcome, that only you know about, Lord, that maybe we've not even shared with others about. And Lord, we're asking for an anointing in the worship service this morning. We're asking you, Lord Jesus, to touch our hearts. Lord, build us up. Help us, Father, that we will be stronger than ever, Lord Jesus, with the word of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
How many of you here were, how many were not here last week or didn't read our lesson? Hope. Okay. Well, this is sort of a continuation of it, and it's about entering into his presence, which often is called the Holy of Holies. So we're going to play a, you know, get the lights there. Just imagine we can have intimacy with him. Isn't that amazing? Last week we covered the idea of hope, and just briefly for those of you who weren't here, is Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith and hope are alike, except that hope is like an architectural drawing on our heart of what God has planned for our lives. It's our destiny written on the tablet of our heart. Faith is the substance of receiving that by faith, because we hear God speak. We talked about that a lot. I got a question. Does everybody wake up every morning with your idea of hope that God has for you? Or do you wake up with cares sometimes? Amen? Well, why? The veil into the Holy of Holies was ripped. How come we're not there all the time? Okay, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that this morning. It says in Hebrews at the top of page 1, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence within the veil, behind the veil. In other words, when we get into the presence of God, He paints that in our heart, maybe over one day, over a period of years, but he paints that in our heart. And he do it, we do it while we're in his presence, which is another word for the Holy Holies, Old Testament. But then when we are kind of experienced, we never virtually come out of his Holy Holies, but we experientially do because of cares of this world and things. There's an anchor, that, and we're hanging onto that rope. And it's sure and steadfast. Okay? So that's some good news. Now we will see how to experience a Holy Holies on a practical basis. He says in Exodus 25, therefore I'll meet with thee and commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are in the Ark of the Covenant of the Testimony. The above scripture refers to the tabernacle, in particular the portion of the tabernacle named the Holy Holies. This is where God invites his people to have intimacy with him. The results of our communing with him in a very real-time, intimate way are beyond the contents of this short lesson. However, they're extremely important to our well-being, to God's purpose for this world, and for eternal rewards for us as well. It's the difference between victory and defeat for our lives. Also, it should be motivated by our love for God, just as it is his motivation. I believe we can learn a lot from the Old Testament about God's desire and his ways of having intimate fellowship with us. Remember, we're using the Old Testament as a type and shadow of today, okay? Of course, we apply the New Testament facts to this idea to make it practical for our lives. We can take the Old Testament tabernacle as a type and shadow for our walk with him today. But I want to make one thing very clear at this point. The veil that blocked the way into the Holy of Holies, which is where the presence of God is, except for certain priests at a point in time, has been torn. Was torn at the cross. That's a done deal. It's not something we have to work out. Okay? I like the KJV version, which says the veil was rent. I remember when I first got saved. Very, very silly about the Lord. Didn't know much. But people would say, I heard you got saved. I said, yeah, the veil is rent. The veil is rent. And they look at me like not many people were reading the KJV at that time. The veil was rent. What do you mean? That happened while Jesus was on the cross. His death was made for us, made a way for us to eternally enter the Holy of Holies. In fact, we are now the temple of God. So it makes sense that his presence actually resides in us. Matthew 27. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in pieces from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. Now, I want you to get this. There's a difference between what is legally and factually ours in the Old, in the New Testament, and what we actually experience in our lives. Amen? We've been crucified with Christ. You always feel that way? So, I mean, that's a fact. We've been raised. We're sitting with him in heavenly places. Do you always feel that way? Okay. So there's a fact, and a legal fact, and there's a experiential. That's what we're talking about this. When we initially got saved, we got it all. However, as we live out our lives and begin to walk in obedience, and little by little obtain more significant sanctification experientially, we actually experience more and more of his character in our lives and more personal intimacy. Here's the promise coupled with our responsibility. Notice that we have some responsibility here, okay? Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Everybody on page 2? Is that at the top of your page 2? Yes. Here's the promise. Does that say that?
Yes.
Okay. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By what?
By the blood of Jesus.
Thank God. And by a new living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us, that's something we need to do, draw near. Number one, with a true heart. Number two, with full assurance of faith. And listen to this, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Everybody say conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Notice in Hebrews 10:22, it talks about an evil conscience. Now listen, our spirit, you know, our soul has three functions. Our will, our mind, our emotions. Okay? Our spirit has three functions. And that is conscience, intuition, and communion. Guilt is a gift, because what guilt is saying is you've got a guilty conscience and something's wrong here. And gives us an opportunity to repent. So our conscience becomes clear. Are you guys with me? Am I going okay? So when our conscience is clear, we can have that intuition. We can see spiritual things so that we can have communion with God. In other words, if we're sitting there stealing from where we work every day and we don't repent from that, how can that evil conscience have communion with God on intimacy? Is that a decent example? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yes, please.
Saw a teaching on good conscience and bad conscience that I'd never heard before. And the evil conscience, the way I'm interpreting from you, is for me and my sake, to make me feel better. That's what the preacher was saying. That it's not a conscience that we're sorry. We're wanting to feel better with ourselves.
We're trying to make ourselves feel better. That's right. Amen.
I think that's the evil conscience.
Amen. Rationalization, and we're going to get into how do we get this cleared up. This is what I want to discuss in this lesson. What is our role? How do we develop a clean conscience so we can commune with God in His presence? I want to use the picture of the Old Testament tabernacle as an example of our walking into the Holy Holies. That's in quotes, experientially. I use this often, even daily or sometimes hourly. It is really the swapping of our old nature with God's nature. Although that already happened, we need to walk it out. You know, Jesus said, you can't follow me unless you take up your cross. Right? Okay. Now, you see that little drawing at the bottom there? Is it on your page? Is it on page 2? Okay. Let's just look at those three areas there. This is where the priest, once a year, came into the Holy of Holies to put Israel's sins on with the blood of Jesus, I guess, what he did. It was their way once a year to get rid of their sin. Okay? So the priest would come in at the outer court there. The bronze altar represents the cross of Jesus. The brass laver represents the word. What we do there at the bronze altar, and I'm just going to kind of go through it, is we come to Him in the morning when we wake up and say, God, this is my sin. This is what I've been carrying around, this resentment, this such and such. I want to get rid of this mess. And I've got the Word of God as a mirror to show me what it is. But there's something else that I should have put in there, and I didn't put on there until I experienced it this morning, and I was talking to Dennis about it. We need to also cast our cares upon Him, 1 Peter. Because so often we start the day or end the day with cares. Who's going to take care of this issue in life? Who's going to take care of this problem? And what am I going to do? What is Barry going to do to help Barry's problems? What is Larry going to do to help? What can I do about this person? What can I do about this? Dennis and I had a web problem on our website. What can I do about this, you know, at 4:30 in the morning? I might as well give you that testimony anyway.
It helps him wake up in a real good mood.
The Lord reminded me this morning, 3 or 4 things. Larry, cast those cares upon me because I care for you. Amen. You can't do this, but I can. Dump it. And one of the cares that I had was, somebody had been working and improving our website, but when they read the ISOB website, but somehow when they got it back into order, some of the links were all messed up. And I found this yesterday, I think, and I emailed Dennis. It wasn't a real complicated issue, but it was a big issue. It would take a lot of time. So I woke up with this in the morning. It's one of the things. So I just cast that upon you. Okay? I looked at my email, and Dennis hadn't answered my 3 or 4 emails from yesterday. That made it worse. I had to stop and get something at Publix, and when I got back in the car, I opened my email on my iPhone, and there was an email from him at 10:24 last night that didn't see at 6 o'clock this morning. Larry, I got everything fixed. He said, if you'd have seen that email before you cast your cares upon me, it wouldn't have been any good. I kept it from you. Are you with me? He wants us to cast our cares upon him. And after I did cast my cares upon him, everything changed. I started going through the Holy of Holies. But I couldn't have made it through that first veil. You got it? That's a big deal. Casting. As a matter of fact, I went in and changed my lesson this morning, but it was too late to reprint. Yes.
One of the main things is, the Holy of Holies, we can't take all that trouble in with us. We have to take all the baggages and leave them outside, because that's where the cross is. If we ever understand that when we were first saved, all of that stayed on this side. And we then resurrected with Jesus Christ, and that allows us to go before the Father.
Amen.
Before that, we never could.
Okay. Yes, Barry.
Very quickly, I was looking at Hebrews 6:19 at the beginning, and it started me thinking about the anchor. That when I was being certified to be a scuba diver, started off in the pool, no sweat. Did a beach dive, no sweat. Got out in the open ocean on a choppy day with poor visibility and went over the side, and I panicked, absolutely panicked. My eyes got as big as saucers. I thought I was going to suck that air bottle dry in 2 minutes. But instead, I swam over to where the line went to the anchor. And as soon as I touched that line, I was at complete peace, went right down to the bottom, took off my mask and tank and put it back on and passed the test. I learned from Elaine that when you first awaken in the morning, if you start your day off with thankfulness,
amen,
you go into a realm of thanking the Lord. Whatever hope is on your heart that he has put there, you have the faith to overcome and to get through the day. And those problems or those concerns, they don't appear the same.
You're on the track. Yeah, man.
I listened to an interview. Not very long ago, I listened to an interview with a Navy SEAL, and I think he was a SEAL commander for 20 years or something, just a guy with the serious mind of a warrior. And he said nowadays in his life, as he does corporate training or whatever he does, he says, every morning I wake up and I see that guy sitting in the cave somewhere who's out to get me. That's my first thought every morning still. And even in this, civilian life, he says, I wake up every morning with that thought. And as soon as you said that, I thought, if you wake up with thankfulness, you defeat him immediately. Your first thought is you defeat the enemy immediately with your first thought. That's wonderful.
Well, actually, let's move on to this first veil, because that's Thanksgiving. We enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Isn't that what it says in the Psalms? This first veil is entering into the holy place, not holy holy, into the holy place with thanksgiving. That's it. Thanksgiving and praise. No matter what, thank you for saving me, even though everything's falling apart. Thank you for saving me.
Amen.
So, the thanksgiving is a big deal, because that gets you into place number two. Well, look at page three.
Larry, when you say that, we also have to be thankful. We get a new beginning.
Yeah.
Everything starts over the next morning.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what we had going on the day before, what we didn't do right, what we did do right.
That's right.
It starts over the next morning.
Amen. Do mercies in the
morning. Amen.
Yes.
Okay, look at the top of page three.
Larry, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes I wonder, what does it mean when the Bible says, do your first works over? But I think that what I'm seeing is that just going right back to the beginning and saying, thank you, Lord, that I am saved.
Amen.
Is your first works done?
Amen. Okay, let's look at what I wrote about the veil. The veil. Come into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's right out of the Psalms. Now that you've been in the Word, you know you're right with God. Satan is judged. You have a lot to be thankful for. Even if you do not have things around you to be thankful for, try to find some. Thank him you are saved and going to heaven. This kind of worship will indeed put judgment on the enemy who is trying to cause you to suffer. Okay? That's that first veil you see there between the outer court and the holy place. Number three. The next stop is in the holy place. This is where you give Jesus your will for his will. Your mind for his mind. Your emotions for his emotions. This is taking up your cross, denying yourself and following Jesus. When Jesus said you must take up your cross and deny yourself, the word there is psuche, I think it is, which is your soul. This is where you take up your cross for your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions. Only you can tell God to take all of your heart. He will not violate your will. He needs you to hear and tell him about the things of your will that are you surrendering to him. So we're going to go through three places here in this second place. The table of showbread. Listen, exchange the desires of your heart, even if they may look good, for God's plan for your life. Lay down your wants, desires, and plans and ask God for his will. I've got to do that every day. I mean, there's certain things I feel of his will. God is continually looking at our will. Showbread means consecrating our will. Bread is ground up flour mixed with oil and baked in fire. Our will and our desires must be continually offered up on the altar to be ground and burned. If we try to have our own, this is what I want for my life, you're not going to get very far. We want God's hope. We want God's will, right? Isn't that right? You know, I was reading a devotion this morning that sometime God in the Old Testament would actually hurt people that were like that, not to reprimand them, but to show that their will wasn't going to get him anywhere. Their idols weren't going to get him anywhere. And they'd have to come to the end of themselves. Look at Isaiah 57. It's in there. Not right now. He will not overwhelm us or control us. Offer your body a living sacrifice. He may prove that perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2 makes that very, very clear. Every day, offer up your will. Make up your mind to forgive, even if you do not feel like it. This is an opportunity to repent, to turn from paths of the way of the world toward God's paths. When we turn, we get the power of God. Scripture is Acts 26, 18, 2 Corinthians 3, 16. Number four, the next stop is the golden lampstand. We talk about this a lot. Exchange your old thoughts for the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6 tells us that the warfare is in our mind. It tells us that strongholds are our reasonings that hold captive our thoughts. And these thoughts keep us from the very true knowledge of God. There is much to be said here because our thoughts are the very core of our being. We must set our thoughts free. How? When we were slaves to sin, we used the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is our reasoning. Just kind of get that there. There was two trees, right? Tree of life, which is the word of God. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is, I don't need the word so much. I got a good brain. Let me work out my thoughts for myself. And of course, Adam and Eve had a brain that was way beyond our capacity. Because that was before sin. So they were more tempted to just use their own thought life rather than go back to the tree of life. I no longer think and decide, but I use my mind for its God-given purpose. That is to listen and obey. This alone will destroy the strongholds in our mind. When we truly see the glory, you know, let me just take a break right there. It's so, so important. I was listening to a Focus on the Family radio this week. And the lady said, in raising children, the way to keep children in obedience is to listen to them and have them listen to you. And then the open and clear communication. And this lady even said, if you will not listen to your child, he will go into disobedience. So we've got to pour our hearts out to God and let him pour his heart out to us. We've got to have that with our during that time. That's the way we're made. Demons can constantly accuse us and bombard our minds and our half-truths. Isaiah 11 tells us that God replaces our natural intellect with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, with knowledge, counsel, wisdom, understanding, might, and the fear of the Lord. We need to get our mind renewed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God, Romans 12:2. Sometimes our intellect does not even know how to pray. Romans 8:26 says that we should use our prayer language to pray God's perfect will. I did that a lot this week. Every time you use your prayer language, you're praying God's will, God's word, and God's will. Your speech center dominates your entire brain, said James. Your speech center dominates your entire brain. So your mind is being renewed and smoothed out to tell your flesh to shut up, conform to God's will. Go back to page 3. You see this, the holy place there? We've been to the table, showbread, the will. We've been to the lampstand, the mind. Now go back to page 4.
Are these different positions within the holy place?
Yes.
Purposely, in
yes.
order, one, then the other, and then the other?
Yes. Okay. The altar of incense. Exchange your old emotions induced by your flesh and the Word of God for the fruit of peace, joy, love, hope, and etc. You know, I don't know if I've written this down, but let me tell you what I think about the emotions here. I believe when we've given our will to God and given our mind and our speech center to God, that our emotions will line up with God's emotions. And then we can show our emotions to Him. And they'll be respected by Him. Read Psalms 145 to 150 out loud if you do not feel the praise in your heart. Read them out loud, because those psalms are praise psalms. God is seeking those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. From this point of praise, God will seek you and desire your company. Give Him those emotions that you've been holding back, perhaps your tears, maybe the raising of your hands, or perhaps just revealing to Him your true emotions. Go ahead. No one is looking except Him. Pour out your deep, deep level of your heart, all of your emotions. In front of this altar is a thick veil that hides the Holy Holies in the presence of God. God wants you to come through that veil more than you desire. He will pull you through. No natural man could go there without dying. Now, I don't know how the priest got through that veil. I've never figured that out. I've never seen it. I know John the Baptist's father was one of those priests. And inside there, God told him that he would have John the Baptist. That was his hope for his life. And since he didn't believe, God shut him up, and so he couldn't talk. You can't say the right word, don't say any words.
Larry, would you consider that fear played a role in that?
Fear.
Fear of the Lord as He entered in, because even when the
high priest did go in once a year,
yes,
he had a rope that was tied around his leg, because if he did enter in and he was not cleansed, he would die immediately, and they would pull him out, and they had a veil that was attached to him,
yeah,
so they would be able to do so, so they could hear.
Good point. The veil tore from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross, giving us entry into His presence by His blood, indicating that His death removed the obstacle that sin created for coming into the very presence of God. Just praise Him for that fact. The Holy of Holies is the place where there is no light except for God. The high priest could only go there once a year, certain conditions. The incense censer from this altar actually went into the Holy Holies with the high priest once a year. This symbolizes that your praise and worship do not stop here, but that they are entering into His very presence, and they go with us. Yes, Rose.
Now, when that priest knew that he was going to go back in there, and the bells on the bottom of his gown were going to ring, and he was going to be all right. But how did he know that he was righteous enough? You know, he began to wonder, am I righteous enough? I could drop dead back there.
Number 6, the Holy Holies, your destination. Now, God pulls you through the veil into the Holy Holies, the very presence of God. This is where we experience His presence. This is actually, I remember just a few months after I got saved, but the first few months I had the presence of God all the time, then all of a sudden it kind of blanked out. And I read this somewhere, I forget where I read it, and I said, I'm going to try this. So I went for my walks, and in my walks, I would walk through the Holy of Holies. And before I got back home, I was in His presence. It works. His mercy endures forever. It's almost impossible to write about. It must be experienced. This is where the seed of the Word of God is planted in your heart. When the Word of God is anointed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's powerful. On either side are huge angels protecting everything. There's no light in here at all except for the light of God. Remember, the Ark of Covenant is now in your heart. It's no longer an external thing. We are the temple of God. Meditate on that. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? There I will meet with thee, and I'll commune with thee from above the mercy seat between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony. I don't have this written down, but just briefly, in another lesson I have, inside the ark are three things. The manna. Come on, Larry. Yeah, Aaron's rod, the manna, Aaron's rod, and okay. And the law. Okay. So the law inside of our temple means, like the Old Testament said, the law of God's going to be put in your heart. It's no longer an external thing. It's in you. Manna means, hey, I'm going to give you a word and take care of your financial needs, your social needs. I'm going to take care of everything you need in life, day by day, just like manna. And Aaron's rod that budded is ministry. So those are the three main things that we get when we go into the Holy of Holies that we absorb. It's actually in there, but when we experience it, we realize it, that hope's written in our heart, and we can live it out.
You know, really, you know, if you think about it, what Jesus did for us is through the temple of our hearts, he takes us directly into the Holy of Holies, doesn't he? And he declares that we're righteous through his blood. And through the dailiness of life and the progression of life, it's our responsibility to keep it clean, isn't it? It's just like our responsibility to take a shower in the morning or a bath every day. And we can do that. Well, I was reading my devotion this morning from Anne Graham Lotz. She used the scripture. She said, 1 Peter 3:15-16 in the New King James. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, having a good conscience, that those who revile your good conduct, and there will be those in our life, they may be ashamed. So when the accuser of the brethren comes along, if we have a good conscience before God, then the Lord will deal with that, won't he? And in her devotion, she says, wrong attitudes have enormous power in our lives. That's why God has placed within each of us a conscience that begins to feel guilty when our attitudes and actions are wrong. Many of the later model cars are equipped with a theft alarm system. The more sensitive ones can be annoying to the general public, as the least bit of motion by a passerby or the lightest touch to the car body can send off an ear-splitting siren accompanied by flashing lights and a honking horn. But that obnoxious sensitivity is purposely designed to be a protection against unwanted entry. God has built into each of us an alarm system to warn us of the unwanted entry of sin into our lives. The alarm system is called guilt. Guilt is our friend. Without it, we would go on in sin until we were dominated and defeated by it. So heed the alarm and repent of the sin. So when we come into the Holy of Holies, when we come in, confession is the cleansing. Lord, I've had the wrong attitude. Lord, I was frustrated. Lord, I was resentful. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, help me. And you know, immediately the Lord comes with the labor, which is the washing and the cleansing of the Word of God. There used to be a soap on the we used to buy in the store called Lava. Remember Lava soap?
Yes.
It would scrub you clean. Well, the labor. The Lord wants to clean us because he knows we're dealing with stuff out here every single day. But, you know, we have that ability to say, Lord, sanctify me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, give me what I need. Lord, give me the power of God in my life. Lord, through the blood of Jesus. In that humility, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. And when we do that, the Lord overtakes us with the most beautiful presence and the most beautiful spirit. There is nothing like the presence of God. Amen. It was like Corrie ten Boom, who was in Africa. And she was walking down a dirt road one day, and she came to an old tin house. It was a tiny little house that was made with tin cans. And she heard the most beautiful sound in that house. There was a woman in there were rejoicing. And she was singing, Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven. We need to stir that up in our hearts, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we get that in the Holy of Holies. We don't have to go through a priest. We can go right in. And we need to praise God for what He's done for us. We don't need alcohol and drugs and all of this. The Holy of Holies and the presence of God will give you the peace. It will calm you down. It will give you the joy. It'll even make you drunk with joy, won't it?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. And so this morning, we come before your throne of grace this morning, Lord. And I know that sometimes this language of the Holy of Holies and how to go about it and whatever, it sounds a little foreign to a lot of people who haven't been taught the Word of God. And Lord, we just want to make it as simple as possible, Lord. Father, confession and getting into the Word and repentance and praise and worshiping you, Lord Jesus, brings on the presence of God. And that glory is so powerful and so wonderful in our lives. And Lord, we just love you this morning. We just thank you, Lord, for doing this for us. And Lord, in the worship service this morning, Lord, take us out of here into worship. Lord, let us see the glory. We thank you and we praise you for this church. We thank you for this class. We thank you for the people in this class, Lord, that are so faithful. And we ask you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, to help us serve you and love you and grow closer to you in every day of our life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.